Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. We stand on a firm foundation. And Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And we stand on that in the midst of a changing world. A world that the value system seemingly changes every day. And it's not getting stricter. And it's not getting holier. And it's not getting closer to God. In fact, it's getting further and further away from God. But we stand on the solid foundation. I need your prayers tonight. I don't say that to sound good. I need your prayers. It is a blessing to be in Christ's sanctified, holy church.
Amen.
It's a blessing to be serving a holy God.
Yes, amen.
That has never sinned.
Right.
That doesn't, only way he recognizes sin is it's the antithesis to what he is himself.
That's right.
It's the opposite of God himself. And it stands to reason in nature, and it stands to reason in the spiritual kingdom, that like begets like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just happens that way.
That's right.
And we live in a world where, I heard a preacher say the other day that God couldn't relate to sin. And the Bible says that he became sin for us. It does say that. And that verse says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now this preacher went on to say that we can't approach God's righteousness. So basically he was really saying what we hear often, that we get saved and whatever that, however that experience happens, and that depends on what denomination you're in and what you're taught and what you're trained. But really, the majority of people in the Christian world don't believe that we have access in our personal life to the strength and the holiness of God. But man, I'll tell you what, I want to talk tonight, if you hadn't already picked up on it, I want to talk about holiness tonight. I think I'm surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that believe in it. And if I'm standing here, if I'm not, if I'm wrong on that and I'm standing on an island, I'm still going to preach it because I believe it.
That's right.
And the Word says it. I want to start off reading in the first chapter of the book of 16th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles. And David penned these words, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also," listen to this, "He also is to be feared above all gods." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, the Bible says. "For all the gods of the people are idols. For the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord," verse 28 of 1 Chronicles 16, "Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due," due unto his name. "Bring an offering and come before him." "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness."
Amen.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This only... That phrase, the phrase "beauty of holiness" is only in the Bible three times. David, the same author, penned it twice in the book of Psalms. And it says every time when it mentions it, it doesn't just say there's a beauty of holiness. It says all three times, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." It doesn't say worship the Lord because he is holy, or, you know, but it's talking about in the beauty of holiness, which indicates that if you yourself have not been transformed from darkness into his marvelous light, if you haven't been transformed from a life of sin to a life of righteousness, that you really are not in the position to worship the Lord. Because it says worship him in the beauty of holiness. Amen. And when we become sanctified by the Holy Ghost, puts us into his holiness.
Right.
Now let's go to the book of Romans, the first chapter, starting in the first verse. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God.
Separated.
We know that the word sanctification means to be set apart, or to be separated for a holy purpose. Paul said he was called to be an apostle, and he was separated. Separated from what? From his past? Yes. From his present? Yes. From the world?
Yes.
From worldly accomplishments?
Yes.
He was separated unto the gospel of God. And the Bible says in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews that we all that claim to be sanctified are ministers. He has made us ministers of God. So he's calling for us to be separated unto the gospel of God. The third verse says concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power.
Yes, that's right.
According to the Spirit of holiness.
That's right.
By the resurrection from the dead.
Right.
Man, y'all listen to how this verse just ties in. Let's go back and read it again. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God.
Yes, he was.
Now, you can declare him with your lips, and that's a declaration.
Right.
And that's just, might be your opinion. But he was declared to be the Son of God with power.
That's right.
It wasn't somebody's opinion.
Right.
It wasn't just something said, but there was some action behind it.
That's right.
All right. According to the Spirit of holiness.
Absolutely.
By the resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
And what this verse is telling us, and Paul goes on to explain in great depth, not only in the book of Romans, but also throughout the New Testament, the resurrection is so critical to the doctrine of holiness. They are intertwined.
That's right.
They're not separate from each other. You can't have holiness unless you've had resurrection.
That's right. Amen.
And you can't be resurrected unless you're resurrected in power.
That's right.
And so we go, this ties up. So we go over to the sixth chapter of Romans, and now it ties it a little bit further together. He says here that the verse 4 of Romans chapter 6, therefore we are buried with him.
That's right.
By baptism into death. And I want you to listen to one key word here.
Right.
This is a word that's so critical to understand in Scripture that a lot of people miss. The word like. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
The next verse says, for if we have been planted, buried together in the, there's this word again, likeness of his death, we shall all be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
Knowing this. Don't you want something that you know?
That's right.
It's not an opinion.
That's
it's
right.
Not what somebody thinks, but it's something you can stand on the solid rock. Knowing this, that our old man, Satan, the great deceiver that deceived the whole earth, the carnal mind, everything that's related to evil, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
Hallelujah.
That the body of sin might be destroyed.
Amen.
That henceforth you should not serve sin.
Amen.
For he that is dead is free from sin.
Amen.
Resurrection and the Spirit of holiness, it goes together.
That's right.
Man, the reason the word like is so important, we've been studying for quite a while in our adult Sunday school class, we call it our closest to heaven class. That's kind, isn't it? And we were saying that, but there's somebody in here This is a side road. There's somebody in here that's going to be our next funeral at the campground in this building tonight.
Yeah, true.
Look around. It might be me.
Don't know who's closest.
It might be you. We don't know. But we need to be ready. Well, the reason this, and this is a small side road for just a minute, but I feel like this is critical. We get into a world where people are, they've kind of taken God's resurrecting power and they set it aside, maybe part of insecurity, because they feel like, well, I can't be holy. I can't live in like in approach holiness. And so it's so easy when we are such infallible people. And there is a, we know what Hebrews 12:4 says, that therefore follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We know what that says. And we know that it says in Hebrews that he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Uncle Paul Merritt said one time, perfect was good enough, forever is long enough. Well, but you get to talking about the word perfection, and you can almost hit a speed bump. You can almost trip on that. Because there is a difference in a sin and a mistake.
Right.
And being sanctified does not deliver us from, does not make us mistake free.
Right.
Somebody say amen. I hope I'm not the only one with that experience. It doesn't. And it's important to understand the difference. The difference between a mistake and sin is when you know something is wrong.
Right.
God has convicted you of it. You know in your heart of hearts it is a sin. It is something God is not pleased with. And you do it anyway.
Right.
That's not a mistake. That's a sin. And God delivers us from the desire to sin. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so the word light, so because we want to put that off and we want to say, well, we're better, you know, and we all fail. We hear preachers say this all the time. And what they're seeing and what they're leading to and what they're really putting off. They don't want to deal with sin right now. They don't want to deal with holiness right now, because if you want to live a holy life, you can't live it without sacrifice.
That's right.
You can't live it. Listen, this whole thing we're talking about sin. We're talking about making a decision to serve God, accepting the call of God, choosing to serve God for the rest of your life.
Right.
Everything is hinging on self.
Right.
It's all about self.
Amen.
And if you're not willing to give self up and let God take over and be the God and not you be your God, if it's all about self, when we talk about being buried with him by baptism into death, it's about the death of self. It's about, because while we sing the song and we tell people at the altar, tell God, you'll give him all your time and all your talent and all your everything. It's about, Lord, not what I want. It's about what you want. It's always, always about self. So by putting it off and not dealing with it, well, then they say, well, you know, Christ is going to come. Christ is going to come. There's going to be a second coming. That phrase is not in the Bible. Go find it. It's not there. Go find it. And so, you know, well, there's going to be a rapture. Oh, that word's not in the Bible either. Oops. Oh, that's two times. Not in the Bible. But they say, well, that day, when that day happens, well, then he's going to bring righteousness on the earth and purge the earth and all this stuff. Well, let me read you some over here. In the book of Acts, in the first chapter, when he has spoken these things, first chapter of Acts, in the ninth verse, when Jesus has spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, messengers of God. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? You know, people are still doing that. Still looking. Oh, when's he coming? Still looking. Why are you standing gazing up in heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come. Okay, well, yeah, that sounds good. In like manner. The word like doesn't mean the same. It means similar.
Right.
It means similar. And so what he did in the flesh, he's coming back in the spirit.
That's right.
And when we give up our flesh, he revives our spirit.
Amen.
And he makes us a child of God.
Amen.
Spirit of holiness. Let me tell you something. Holiness is not a game.
No.
It's not a name tag.
No, it's not.
It's not something you wear out in public to look good. It's not something you stand up here and talk about to look good. Or you shout to look good. It's a way of life.
That's right.
And if you don't follow peace with all men and holiness, you will not see the Lord.
That's right.
That's how important holiness is.
That's right.
Well, the generations come along and our folks came out and started our church however many years ago, 1892. And you know, it's like the old business adage that's around. The first generation, they say in business, builds it. The second generation enjoys it. The third generation destroys it. That's an old business adage. And it's happened often in business. It can happen at a church.
Yes, it can.
We're enjoying, we're standing here with the fruits of this right here. There's not anybody in this building that came up with the idea that we ought to have peace meetings.
That's right.
That started before anybody in this building was born. We are enjoying it, aren't we? Amen. Man, I love it. Okay, let's make sure we don't destroy it.
Amen.
Let's make sure we don't destroy it. You know how you destroy it? By having the name and not living up to it.
That's right.
And now let me go on. I'm going to go down the side road. We get over here in the last part of this book, the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. And it says this, the 19th verse, "For as you have yielded," this is talking about times past, "as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness," boy, didn't we, "and to iniquity,"
yes,
"unto iniquity. Even so now, yield your members," self,
your body,
give up self.
Right.
Paul said, "I die daily." You can't just die to self at the altar and never die to self any other time.
That's right.
Paul said, "I die daily."
Yeah. Right.
"Even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness."
Right.
And it says here in the 22nd verse, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In the book of 2 Corinthians, at the end of the sixth chapter, and this holiness thing, it's not something that you get up from the altar. I had an experience recently. I went to a couple's house, talked to them about some business. And in the conversation, they live in our neighborhood, older couple, and we had a great conversation. And we just got to talking and kind of introducing ourselves to each other. And they asked where I went to church. And so I told them the name of our church, which... It's an unusual name, Christ Sanctified Holy Church. And so we had a conversation. I left, and about 2 or 3 weeks went by, and they called me back, wanted me to come back over. So I'd already, you know, forgot about the previous conversation. And so we're talking about business, things we're talking about. And out of the blue, the lady sitting on the couch, she looked at me and she said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I'm thinking she's going to ask something about what we've been talking about, you know. She says, "Are you sanctified and holy?" Oh, wow. Yeah, that was kind of all right. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." Now, I don't know about y'all. There's a part of me that's not comfortable with that because it almost sounds like, you know, flexing your muscles, like, you know. But, and she said, and this was really cool. She said, "We are too."
Praise the Lord.
How about that? How about that? How about that? And you know what? I accept her testimony.
Absolutely.
Because that's between her and God. And for somebody to say that, that's quite a declaration.
Yeah, you better know what that means.
And you know, most people, they'd be like, well, we're not, you know, making it. And she said, "Well, we are too." I said, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." So this thing, though, it involves every part of your life.
Yes, it does.
And let me read in 2 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. Especially the next part of my message, especially want our young people to listen to the things I've got on my heart to say. This starts in the 14th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Once you have become sanctified," now, as the last verse of 1 Peter says, but grow in grace.
Yes.
This is starting your walk with Christ.
Right.
You are a babe in Christ. You've got a lot of things to learn. You're going to make mistakes along the way. God is going to come in and he's going to rebuke you. He's going to chastise you. Thank you. I was looking for that word. We've been looking for words lately, Becky. And he wants to mold you into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He wants you to become invisible so that you can let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, but they glorify your Father which is in heaven. That it's no longer about me. It's about that you can say with a clear conscience and an honest heart, yes, I am sanctified and holy. Amen. Through the power of God, of course. So now we've got choices, young people, to make along the way. And we sing one song that says, you go to all these follies, frolics, which make your religion cold. These no harm sins I'm telling you about are going to cause you to lose your soul. And why is it that when we go to make a decision about where to go and what to watch and what kind of entertainment we go to and buy tickets for, that we want to justify it and say, well, it's not that bad. Or it's not. Listen, we're talking not about your opinion or my opinion. What does the Holy God say about it?
Right.
When you buy tickets to go watch entertainment of people that sing about sinful lifestyles and act like it's a party and it's cool and it's fun, that is supporting non-holiness. Let's call it out for what it is. Our folks, God's expecting us to be holy in our choices. So he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is talking about way more than marriage.
Yes, it is.
It's talking about every part of your life. You have connections and you have friends and you choose who you hang out with and what you go do with. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? I'll give you the answer to those two questions. None. Nay. Let your nay be nay. What concord or what agreement hath Christ with Belial or Satan? He doesn't have any. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, this is why you're a temple. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, these last two verses, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not. Now he's narrowed the funnel down. He starts off, what agreement, what a concord, what fellowship does this have? He's come down, don't even touch. He's got real specific. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be this is a promise. I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. He already said, I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to walk in you. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people, and you will be my sons and daughters. You see those promises?
Amen.
Those
That's
promises.
Right.
He's given us promises that if we'll forsake the world, If we'll cleave to holiness.
That's right.
If we'll be the people that shine the light. And we're not afraid of what people say about us. We're not trying to fit into hip, cool, worldly culture. We're separating ourselves from worldliness. And we're attaching ourselves to holiness. And he's given us all these promises. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to walk with you. You're going to be my sons and daughters. And he comes on right down. The Bible wasn't written in chapters. They separate 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises that we just talked about, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. That's what God has called us to, holiness. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it's real. It's so real. I'm going to cut this short, believe it or not, because I could keep going with this, man. But I want to read one place here, and this is, if I can get to it, in the book of Isaiah, the 35th chapter, toward the end. I could read this whole chapter. I remember one year in Columbia, Mother's Day, Brother George Miller preached on the entire, it's only, I think, 12, it's 10 verses. Brother George Miller preached a sermon on the 35th chapter of Isaiah when I was a teenager. I remember that. But he comes down here, and this is a prophetic chapter.
Yes, it
this is.
Is
when
yeah, it is.
It's talking, here it's talking, giving promises to the Israelites that there's a Savior coming.
Right.
And he's going to redeem you from darkness. He's going to bring you into his marvelous light.
Yes.
And those promises are just read in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He's prophesying now.
Yeah.
These things are going to happen.
Right.
This is coming.
Right.
And boy, you better hitch your wagon to this. You better believe this. Well, he comes on down and he says, say to them, well, I'll start in the 3rd verse. Strengthen ye the weak hands.
Yeah, right.
Now, here in this congregation tonight, there's somebody.
Somebody.
And I don't know who it is. And I don't want to know. God knows. And you know. There's somebody here that's claiming the name of Christ, that's departed from iniquity, and you've got something going on in your life and you're weak. You feel like your hands are weak. You feel like, in other words, that you're not prepared for the task in front of you, for the mountain in front
not
of
ready
you.
For battle.
Could be you young people with school, with relationships. Somebody's got financial problems. There's somebody here with health issues we don't know about. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Strengthen the firm, the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Man, I feel like that.
Fear not.
Behold, your God will come. It's a promise with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then, now this is the prophecy. The eyes of the blind shall be opened.
That's right.
And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped.
Amen.
Then shall the lame man leap.
Amen.
As a hart or an antelope.
Yeah.
And the tongue of the dumb shall sing.
Amen.
And then in the wilderness shall waters break out.
That's right.
And streams in the desert. And the parched ground.
Yeah.
This is what all of this is, a metaphor, it's a simile, he's trying to tell us today of what God will do with a barren life before we become sanctified.
Amen.
Your life was in the desert. You are walking in blindness. You can't hear the call of the Lord. Your tongue can't sing the praises of God. You're dumb. You are lame. You're always constantly stumbling. But what he's saying to us prophetically centuries ago is that if you bring all of your broken pieces to God,
amen,
he'll put them back together and make your life complete.
Amen.
And the parched ground, oh my goodness, shall become a pool. And the thirsty land, springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons. Now we know that's a likeness of Satan that he's talking about. And we know that there are devils many.
That's right. Yeah.
You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Luke chapter 7, the woman that came to Jesus washing his feet, out of whom it says that Jesus cast out seven devils, demons, demonic spirits. So in the habitation, right when you're living, the habitation is where you live. When you're living there before you come to Christ with demons and dragons and all kinds of things going on where each lay. Now, after you become sanctified, it shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there
and a way.
And a way. And it is not simply a way, because there's people that I've heard say, well, it doesn't matter, as long as you believe Jesus is Lord, doesn't matter how you get there. Just so basically I can come up this way, I can come up that way, and come over another way. So this says there shall be a way, but now he narrows it down. And it shall be called, and this first word is capitalized, it's not a mistake, it shall be called the way of
holiness.
What?
Holiness.
Yeah, the way, not a way, the way. It's got a name.
Yes, that's
it
right.
Doesn't say improved sinner.
No.
It's not the way of improved sinners.
That's right.
It's not the way of slightly better sinners.
Right.
It's not the way of I sin and I repent every day.
No,
it's
yes.
The way. It's the way. What did Jesus say? I am what?
The way.
The, way.
The life.
The truth.
And the life.
And the life.
Right.
There's only one way. No man cometh to the Father except by me. You go through Jesus, he's the way of holiness.
Amen.
The way.
Amen.
Not a way.
Amen.
There's not another way.
No,
you won't find heaven by going up any way. And you climb up any other way, the same as a thief in a robber.
That's right.
Be called the way. All right, now let's talk about the way. Call it a highway. Well, that could be, you know, we call a highway an interstate. It's going, you know, traffic 80 miles an hour. But we also can talk about a highway. High.
Yes.
I don't know what it means, but it's the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. So right there, I'm going to stand on truth tonight. Every church that's preaching that you're still in your sins after you're saved, they're not on the way.
Right.
The unclean shall not pass over it.
Right.
But it shall be for those.
Yeah.
That's exactly who the way of holiness is for. It's for the people that were unclean, the people that were filthy, the people that were weak, the people that couldn't get out of their own way, kept stumbling and bumbling through sin. The way of holiness, it's for those. It's not so you'll still be unclean. It's so you'll be elevated and live a life of holiness.
Amen. That's right.
My goodness. The wayfaring man. Just
wanderer.
Going here and there and
wanderer.
This idea and that philosophy and that sound, the wayfaring man, the fools, they're not gonna enter. You're not gonna get to heaven just because you stumbled into it.
No.
No lion shall be there. Your adversary, the devil,
as a
roaring lion,
right.
Walketh about, seeking whom he shall devour. Who resists steadfast in the faith? But it says here, no lion is on the way of holiness. He's around it.
Sure.
He wants to come after you. He's on the move.
Right.
But he's not on the way, is he?
No, he's not.
Any ravenous beast shall go up there on, shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there.
Amen.
And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. We're marching to Zion.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching to Zion on the way of holiness. That's how we're going to get there. And they're going to come to Zion with what? Songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain, we got it tonight, folks, joy, gladness, and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Aren't you glad you're on the way of holiness? I want to stay there. I want my life to be a light to the world and to you. I don't say that arrogantly or boastfully. This is what we're called to do. We got to make good choices to stay on the way. I want to go to Zion with joy and gladness on my head. Pray for me when you